Some of you are wondering, did she really just put a Chewbacca mask up there with her? Yes, I did. And you'll find out why in a minute. Good morning. I just want to welcome everybody here this morning. We're so glad that you're here. If you are new this morning and visiting, you'll find a connection card in the seat pocket in front of you. And you are encouraged to fill that out and put them in one of the boxes on the other side, either side of the door, so that we can get to know you a little bit better. Those are also good places to put prayer needs if you have them. The staff takes very seriously the privilege that we have every Tuesday during staff meeting to pray for you. We pray very intentionally for your needs as we know them. So I hope you will take a minute to do that if you need to. Before we get started in our message, I do want to take a minute to thank the praise team and Carrie, especially. Susan, our worship leader, lost her mother, Ray, last night, well, I guess this morning, about 1 o'clock. Some of you know she'd been declining pretty really all week, and hospice had been called. She went peacefully. She went with her family around her. Some of you knew Ray. Ray and her husband, Bill, served in this church for many years, raised their children in this church, and their grandchildren grew up in this church. And so even though we haven't seen them here for a few years because they've moved out to Ashby Ponds in Ashburn, they were part of our church family for a long time. So for some of us, the loss is very personal. In addition to us being concerned for Susan, who we also love. Ray was the first example to me of what a small group leader looks like. When I was 16 years old, and some of you have heard me share this before, I came to this church as a 16-year-old without my family, and Ray invested in me. She poured into me, and I would say that she really helped me to be a better children's pastor because she taught me what investment looks like. And I will say this, that I am the world's best aunt. That's just a fact. And last night, as I was surrounded by her nieces and nephews, I realized she and I learned a lot from her, but she might actually hold the title. She taught me how to be the world's best aunt, and she and I were very close. I'm thankful. I say that, share that with you this morning to share that it is important when you pour into somebody's young life. And so if you have the opportunity to do that, it really makes a difference. So let's go and have a time of prayer for their family this morning. Father, we just thank you so much for the Pettis and Cottrell family. We thank you for the contributions that Ray made to our church family over the years. We thank you for the investment that she made. And Father, we thank you for how you loved her. And thank you, Father, that she showed your love as many ways as she could. We thank you for her family that is hurting this morning, Lord, and pray that we would be the physical presence of your love as they grieve, especially during this time of year, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would help us to know how we can best encourage and support. We pray that they would feel your presence. We pray especially for John and Emily as they have to leave their families to go back to school for finals. We pray, Father, that you would just walk with them, surround them with followers of Christ that will offer encouragement to them during this time. Father, we just thank you for Susan and what she does for us each Sunday morning, and pray that we would be an encouragement to her. I pray that you would give her rest and peace, and we just thank you so much for what it means to really go through life with somebody. We just thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So I did find it a little bit ironic that on a day when myself and others are experiencing personal loss, that we would also be talking about joy. But it kind of fits, because joy is different than happiness. And joy, for me, is something that is a baseline in my life. I became interested in this topic more personally over the last couple of years, and I started working on this sermon in my head in the last couple of years when I got to know who Candace Payne was. Does anybody know who Candace Payne is? Does anybody know who the Chewbacca mom is? Yeah. Candace Payne is the Chewbacca mom. And I started following her story. I started following her story because, first of all, it was funny. Second of all, people were posting her video on my page saying, "This reminds me of you." And Sandy, I think you were one of the first ones to do that. I chose to take it as a compliment. I found it fascinating because when her video was posted onto Facebook, it went crazy viral. And within a couple of days, she had over 2 million views. And so she started holding records, and I believe she still holds the record at Facebook for the most viewed post, which is just crazy. So then she had this amazing 15 minutes of fame, and I followed it closely because I was just intrigued. So let's look at the video, and then I'll talk about it at the other end.
This is worth every penny!
Okay, I know, it's a bit much. David refused to watch it in the office. I don't know why. As Candace went through all of her 15 minutes of fame, I learned a couple of things. First of all, is that she is a Christ follower, and so that even intrigued me in her story more. And second of all, I was intrigued by how many times she was asked, "Are you always this happy?" And so as I started listening to her story, I realized she actually has a very hard story. When she was young, she and her family were homeless more than once, and it actually interrupted her education process, and as you can imagine, was just very hard being a child that was homeless. And as a teenager, she was assaulted. As a college student, she wanted to end her life. And as a young adult, a young mother, she had terrible postpartum depression. So yet, here was just this happy, happy person. And so the more I listened, the more I realized, well, she and I actually have a very common understanding of joy, and it comes from Scripture, and that is where her joy is based. And that her joy is closely connected with her contentment, and it is a baseline in good times and in bad times. And so I just wanted to kind of share some of the scriptures that I thought about and some of the thoughts that I had on how these scriptures really gave me, as well as Candace and hopefully you, a baseline for your joy and contentment. So we're going to start with looking at the fact that God's love is steadfast and unchanging. Now, just that statement gives me joy, because I need love that is steadfast and unchanging. Because if your love for me was going to change on my behavior, I would be in big trouble. And so would some of you. But I love the fact that God's love for me doesn't change. If you look at Deuteronomy 7:9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." That's an amazing promise. Psalm 86:15, as we continue, says, "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Y'all, I need that. I am sometimes my own worst enemy. It's not that I mean to, at 54 years of age, screw up as much as I do, but I do. And so I need love that is slow to anger, gracious, merciful, and has faithfulness to it. I need it. And again, so do some of you. God's love, the next one, comforts us. Some of us really need a lot of comfort during this time of year, in addition to us having a loss as recent as last night. This time of year is really hard when you have lost a loved one. This is my fifth Christmas without my dad, and it gets better than the first one, but it's still hard. And some of you have said, yeah, it's been 20 years for me, and it's still hard. So this can be a really hard time of the year, as joyous as it is as we celebrate such an amazing baby, but it can still be very difficult. So God's love comforts us. Psalm 136:26. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over with you, over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt you with loud singing. This verse reminds me, I had the privilege of being with Susan and her family a couple of times this week, and Susan just would sit and sing to her mother, and this reminds me of that. And Susan just, they all prayed that the family would have peace, and they talked about how they felt God's presence in that room. And so I love to see scripture come alive. God's love is revealed to us through Jesus Christ. This is the first Sunday of the month, and the first Sunday of the month, our children downstairs start learning their new memory verse, and they have to make up the motions themselves, and they teach the motions to each other. So I wish that this sermon was next week, because then maybe we could see what kind of great motions they came up with. But their memory verse for this month is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And this next one is worth the price of admission for me. I love this verse. Romans 8:37-39. No, in all these things that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present for things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. And in a crazy world and in crazy times, I find tremendous comfort in that. Sorry, it's hard when you get old and you can't see, but you need to be able to see. And then also, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's powerful stuff. And I'm going to continue, but I just want to take a minute to say that I get it. I get how somebody like Candace, like some of you, and even myself, I get how these scriptures set that baseline of joy. Because even as I'm reading them, I'm getting excited all over again with all these promises. Let's continue. God's love is poured into us through the Holy Spirit. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And that is very true. And the last one is God's love compels us to love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Man, that is so important for us to remember, because if you were to listen to social media and the way that God gets tossed around out there, you wouldn't think that that's true, but it is. It is totally the truth that God is love, and we can count on that. Again, continuing on, 1 John 4, 9 through 11. In this, the love of God, who is made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And so as I read and study and understand, and this comes from relationship. This did not come like that, even though I find these scriptures extremely able to stand on their own in any moment of time. I realize that this is absolutely where I find my baseline of joy, my baseline of contentment, even when life is hard. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about Candace's journey and all this in a second, but I just wanted to take a minute and kind of share with you some of my journey. And I've been open about it with anybody who has discussed this with me, but I have really had to hold tight to the fact of the truth of all these scriptures. As I've gone through a really dark time in my own life in the last couple of years, one of the things I love about these verses is that there are no qualifiers on them. It doesn't say that you have to have been good. It does not say that you have to be you don't have to be a certain weight or a not weight. Because maybe that's something I struggle with. You don't have to be really smart. You don't have to be really wealthy, which I maybe am a little bit smart and I'm not wealthy. So I'm so thankful that all these apply to me, because there are no qualifiers. And I'm so thankful that I can cling to them, because life gets really hard sometimes, you guys. And it got really hard for me in the last 2 years. Things just started kind of piling up on me. A failed relationship. And they're like, oh, was she dating? So it was not that kind of relationship. So don't start that story. Or do, and then tell me how it turned out. Things going on in our world that just broke my heart and discouraged me. And then I got some news from the doctor that I just didn't know what to do with. When I was 39, I'm 54 right now. When I was 39, I had a heart attack from a blood clot. And I didn't get immediate attention for it because, first of all, I couldn't move. And second of all, because I also thought I had food poisoning and I was going to tough it out. And it did tremendous damage to my heart. I actually have an internal defibrillator in my heart because the doctor said it doesn't matter how much weight you lose or what kind of shape you get in, you're not going to survive without this defibrillator. So I got the defibrillator. It's gone off twice, and it was scary the first time and not so scary the second time. And this past, not 2017 summer, but summer of 2016, I got the news that my heart function had gone down. And I was disappointed by that. I knew that it was not good in the first place, but it had gone down. And we sat around the staff table, and I said, I'm discouraged by this. I'm just going to ask the cardiologist, what is his prognosis for me? And I was sure that he was going to say he couldn't tell me. But then I would feel good because I asked. And so I asked him, and without missing a beat, he said, you're going to need a heart transplant in the next 10 years. Like, oh, that was big news. And that was really hard to handle. And I didn't really handle it. And I'm still having a hard time with it. And so with all those things piling up, I've really been in a dark place a couple of years ago. I'm kind of crawling my way out of it. But I share that with you to share that in the midst of darkness, we still have that baseline of contentment and joy. Sometimes it's hard to see and it's hard to find, but it's there. And my baseline comes from the scripture and the promises that have been given to us. It doesn't mean that life is easy. I still struggle. I think about it every day. Somebody asked me the other day, because for a long time, this is the first time I've shared publicly about this diagnosis. It makes me feel pretty vulnerable to share that because I don't want people to think that, it's okay if you want to carry packages for me. That's okay. But I am living my normal life, and I want to continue to live my normal life, and I don't want people to feel sorry for me or to worry about me. So this is the first time I shared that, but I want to share it because I want you to know that it's as dark a place as I have been and I've been able to crawl out of, that baseline of joy and contentment saved me. And so I feel like I was going to share something about that. And it was going to be good, too. But I just want to share with you that I recognize believers that have the same baseline of contentment and joy. And I recognize that in Candace. And I appreciated the fact that she understood that as an adult. It took her a while to get there. It's a journey. It's not something that you understand easily. But she, when she got to that place, she hung on to it really tightly. And she tells, I'm going to tell you three stories that will help you understand this a little bit better. And see, in the earlier service, I only told two. So you guys get a bonus. But the first story is that the night before she became Chewbacca mom, she was at Popeyes, and she came across a homeless woman, and she felt like God had whispered into her heart, you need to give the woman that $20 you have in your hand. And she did it. She trusted God, but she also realized that that was the last of her disposable income until payday. So that meant no lattes, no disposable income until the next payday. But she trusted God, and she was content with what God asked her to do. The next day, she decided that she wanted to celebrate her birthday. I don't even think it was her birthday. It was her birthday week. And I say that because some of us celebrate our birthday for more than just one day. And perhaps some of us have pastors that don't understand that. Just saying. And make fun of you for it every year. The jokes are the same. The struggle is real. And so she only had gift cards, and she had an exchange that she could make at Kohl's to get herself some yoga pants. And I always kind of raise an eyebrow to that, because I think one of the fair comparisons to Candace and I is that maybe yoga pants is not our best bet, but that is a personal decision. And so she went to find her yoga pants, and she bumped into one of those clearance bins, and she heard, just saying. And she's like, oh, I've got to have that. And so she got it. Sorry. She got it, and she took it out, and she started playing with it in her car. And she's just like, I've got to share this. I've got to share my joy. And so she did the video, and it went viral. Now, what's interesting about all this is that because Candace had such a strong baseline of contentment and joy at that point in her journey with Jesus. It hadn't been that long, maybe a couple of weeks, since she had just had a very honest conversation with God in which she said, I know you love me. I know you care about my needs. Let's talk about some wants. And she said she even felt uncomfortable with it because she recognized that there are so many bigger needs in the world than her desire to see her kids go to Disney World. Sorry, Hauser family. And so, is that me? Well, just, wow. Does not everybody in my life know where I am right now? Oh, so sorry. Anyways, she said, oh, so embarrassed. She said, time out. I bet you anything that was a niece or nephew because I am the world's best aunt. So she came before God and she said, we are a single income family. And we made that decision on purpose, and we feel like that decision glorifies you, but my kids are not going to Disney World, and I don't know what to do about that, but it's a dream that I have and a want that I have. And after she prayed that very honest prayer, she went to bed, and she didn't think about it again. And she said she just felt like she could be honest with this God that she had a relationship with, and she could be content in knowing that he was going to say either yes, no, or wait, because those are the three ways that God answers prayer. So 2 weeks after that, she gets a phone call, and I already apologized for the Hausers and the first service for not knowing that apparently Disney owns Star Wars. I didn't know that. And so one of the directors of Disney contacted her and said, would you come to our Star Wars, what is it, like an exhibit, a ride, whatever it is. They invited her to do a little promo for it. And would you like to bring your whole family? Would you like to bring your kids? She started crying. She started telling the person on the phone, the director of Disney, why she was crying, and the person on the phone started crying too. And they had an all-expense-paid trip, did not stand in one line. They had their own, like, what do you call it? Whoever that is, that's what they had, okay? So within 26 days of praying that prayer, and people, we know that God doesn't always say yes, and we get that. What I want you to get out of that story is that she was content enough in that relationship to bear her soul and content enough in that relationship to go to bed and not give it another thought. And I think that is just tremendous, and that is so encouraging to me. Our baseline of joy comes out of relationship. Our baseline of joy and contentment comes out of believing all that these scriptures say that are true. And I know that it can be difficult, and I know that personally, but I also truly understand more than I want to of what it's like to just kind of scratch your way back to that baseline and to be so thankful that it's there. I said I had three stories. I can't remember what the third one was. So I apologize, and that's probably why I didn't share it in the first service. So... And I'm sad for you guys because it was good. Anyways, all right. Lily, would you like to be the recipient of this fabulous Chewbacca mask? Because your father told me that if you were going to get it, you had to come up here and put it on. She's good. All right, who wants to be a recipient of the... Okay, Matilda, come on up here. Because let me tell you, as much as happiness and joy are very different things, and joy is what we get when we are children of God, and I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that you're a child of God and that's where your joy comes from. But girlfriend, I want you to have some happiness. Let's hear it. Say Merry Christmas. Can you say All right, good job, right here. Have fun with it and bring other people joy with it, okay? All right, good job. I will post it on social media if I remember the third story, but until then, let us pray together. Jesus, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you that love and the promises, that's where our joy comes from. Thank you, Father, that we can have joy even when we don't really feel it, that it's when life is hard, we thank you that you are still right there with us. We praise you for who you are in our lives, and I just thank you so much for loving us. I thank you so much for your promises, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to hold on to them as we go in these upcoming days where we may feel loss or we may just feel joyous in celebrating this baby king that we're getting ready to celebrate. We just thank you so much for all of it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.